So to develop this great heart of compassion, first we investigate the contents of our minds and then move to the awareness of the space that holds those contents. We've practiced this before. When we practice the awareness of the space instead of the contents, we're developing a conscious awareness that we're not only the contents of our bodies and minds, that those boundaries that we perceive as the edge of ourselves are not true boundaries, and they aren't so clearly defined. And this is really this practice of expanding into space, and you could call it the practice of dying. You know, what is dying but becoming bigger, faster, and freer? Stephen Levine says, our inherent wisdom lets go now into life. It practices dying by surrendering the luxury of its suffering. It goes beyond itself to become itself. So as we investigate the contents of our minds, these stories and perhaps associated wounds, we practice meeting our pain with mercy, which is teaching us to keep our hearts open in adversity. When we explore our past and we might find our regrets, we might find shame or disappointment or loss, we find the edges of our hearts, how they begin to close down when we bring up these painful moments. And these things may seem fresh even if they occurred years or decades ago. So this is the process of forgiveness. It's not necessarily a forgiveness of others or even a forgiveness of ourselves. It's a forgiveness of life in that moment, that perhaps there was no one there to equip to support us in the way we needed, you know, to respond to the conditions in a way that didn't cause us any harm. And how a reaction caused a reaction which resulted in isolation and suffering. How we couldn't find the support of a loving universe to hold us. We've all had these times. So whatever suffering is contained in that story, we see it clearly. We allow our hearts to hold it, and then we bless it and let it go. That's the process. Thank you. Nisargadatta said, the mind creates the abyss and the heart closes it. So this is about touching our tender hearts, about growing our edges of our ability to love, about developing space and equanimity. Pema Chodron describes another aspect of this process like this, and for those people who were there last Tuesday, I read this quote. At least once a year, I imagine that I'm going to die, about to die. Looking back as truthfully as I can at my entire life, I give full attention to the things I wish hadn't occurred. Recognizing these mistakes honestly, but without self-recrimination, I try to rejoice in the innate wisdom that allows me to see so bravely. And I feel compassion for how I so frequently messed up. And then I can go forward. The future is wide open, and what I do with it is up to me. So it's a cleansing. You know? And when we clean out our houses, we make lots of room. So I'm going to describe to you the meditation process, and then we'll do it. Now, this can be a more structured process, or it can be just organic. Things may just come up. You know, if you set an intention, then things may just happen if you're just receptive. There's a practice that Stephen Levine uses called the soft belly practice. Some of you may know that. And it's basically just being aware of your belly, and that when your heart closes, your belly starts getting tight. And so if you continually return to see how your belly is, if you have a soft belly, then you keep going your heart is still open. And if your belly isn't able to stay soft, it's probably a good idea that that's about as far as you want to go in that moment. So it's a way of really giving us markers, because we may be so caught up in a story, we may not really know, you know. So this isn't really it's not a project, you know, a clean out project to do as quickly as we can. It's a process of loving ourselves. So it takes time. So the first part of the practice is gratitude. It's gratitude to our parents, to our teachers, to our friends, to our pets, to everyone who's loved us, and for all the wonderful moments in our lives. Yeah. And this develops our stability and our courage to keep our eyes open on the difficult things. And then part two is forgiveness. Forgiveness of difficult situations, of difficult people. It's forgiveness for those who have harmed us, and it's forgiveness of those who we have harmed. It's for those who we feel we have harmed, our practice is to feel the pain of their harming and send wave after wave of intention for their well-being. So we're just touching a painful memory with a willingness to heal, which begins to soften the holding and the tension around it. Just sometimes bringing up a memory, we feel a tension. And we just hold it there as much as we can. And we're open to receiving whatever the gift is in that wound. There's always a gift because there's energy there. You know, an insight, strength, a heart opening, humility, letting go, love for ourselves, gratitude for all of life. And we see that the garbage and the rose are one in this process. You know, I think Janine had a beautiful sharing last week of her experience about bringing this up and this difficult experience or person, and just being really charged and then just having it be such a gift. And I remember her saying, it was a great experience. It was really good. It's like, you know. So it's kind of freeing these experiences from being caught in the aversion idea, you know. Moving, being able to move toward something that's raw and tender and, you know, kind of down low on the ground. So this process helps us reclaim our lives. You know, it's just like mindfulness in that way. It helps us to show up for our past, for these memories that they may contain great texture and flavor. You know, they may be a bit bitter at first, but bitter is quite a wonderful flavor. You know, and adds a lot to the spice of life. And so as we soften, we cultivate the taste for this. And our palate becomes much richer and wider. So sometimes the life review is not so much a contemplation of events gone by as an inventory of residual feelings. So there's a recognition of work completed and healings yet to be accomplished. It's both. We find, a lot of acceptance and acknowledgement of what the work that we've done in our lives, as well as what's left to do. And we use that that technique of being aware of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And we practice holding them all with the heart of loving kindness. So we begin and we proceed always with gentleness. We develop our deep sense of gratitude before we embark on any painful memories. And we only go to the edges of the pain. I like to think of brushing it softly with a feather. We maintain our awareness of our body, of what we're sensing, and that's why bringing our awareness back to our bellies frequently is a really important part of it. It will monitor the process for you, letting you know when you've had enough or when you've found a rich core of memory that you can stay with for a while. So you continue to hold all your memories in gratitude and forgiveness. It's a gathering of awareness to illuminate your past with a new mercy. You know, the Buddha said two things. He said, you can search the whole world over and not find anyone who can love you better than you can love yourself. So this is a deep practice of self-love. He also said, you will never find anyone more deserving of love than you. So to me, this is a practice of learning to accept that phrase, which, you know, how much do we really believe or are able to accept that phrase? So as we send our awareness into the depths of consciousness, we may find that we've stirred things up a bit. And so maybe we might do this in a meditation and not a whole lot gets stirred up, but then we go about our day, you know, we're taking a shower or driving somewhere and like, woo, some memory pops up or some person that's really charged, you know. So it's important to have good boundaries. You know, we're driving a car, something comes, we can say thank you, and I'm not paying attention to you right now. This is not the time for me to really engage in this practice. So I know just when I began really working with this practice, what happened to me was I had a dream of somebody from my past, you know, and it was a wound, it was something that happened, and it never got completely resolved. It wasn't really, you know, and so it was, I was really so grateful, like, oh, that's still in there. And I'd really like to be able to just hold that person totally in love, you know, and not have any, you know, energy of need or energy of wounding in there. So, you know, our reaction to the past and what we're holding strongly influences and affects how we see the present and how we're able to experience the present. So this can really free us. And memory is no more or less an illusion than any other thought, you know. It's constantly changing its perspectives. It's susceptible to influence from this environment. So we begin to demagnetize the reactionary quality of it by approaching unpleasant and pleasant alike with an unconditional mindfulness. We just wear that investigator hat, that open, suspending judgment, curious, open-hearted self. Stephen Levine says, we're no longer willing to live our life secondhand. So we enter directly into the memory and let our heart pour into it. And then we examine the constantly changing mirage of our memories. And we begin to recognize how much memory is a function of our self-image, and that our self-image is no more substantial than a thought. Somebody said, until we stop defining ourselves by memory, we will never find out who we really are or who we really aren't. So maybe we'll do the... Does anyone have any questions or comments about this before we do a sampling?
Sounds like it could be a big project.
Yeah.
I mean, not just a one thing, but
yeah.
Something that takes some time.
Yeah.
I think I heard you say this, but I'll just repeat it. You could probably go back to the same memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're both right that this is something that can go on for quite a long time, because it's not something that, to me, it's kind of the heart of it is organic, that it's organic. And I think there's a trusting inside us that what's going to come up for us is what's ready for us to look at and be with. You know, I think memory and the sort of not remembering has kind of a regulating function for us, keeping us safe. So if we don't remember something or something doesn't come up, perhaps it's not the time for us to look at that and to be with it. And whatever does come up, you know, I think you're right. I think it really is something that you can be conscious about inviting in. And then you go about your life. And, you know, you can use this in your daily meditation practice as a part of your time. Or you can just generally set an intention, you know, to opening to anything in you that's holding you from being fully present. Mm-hmm. So, and you might touch over and over very gently an experience. You know, it's not. You know, it's. I think it's really important, and for me, it's kind of a challenge, but it's really important not to turn it into a project. It's an ongoing practice of releasing. You know, I think I might have told this story, but it's a story about continually clearing yourself. That's why they have a bell in the dining room at the monastery that rings every 15 minutes, and you stop and go back to your breathing, and you just clear. So you don't start storing in your body, you know, emotional or physical experiences that you haven't had time to process. And so this is just a clearing of those deeper experiences that you weren't able to do that because you haven't stopped every 15 minutes for your whole life. And so yeah, it's just touching and just, it's not really being so much in control of as just opening and offering. And we can only do that as much as we have developed our ability to stay present and to stay in love. So it's going to be different for everybody.
Yeah. One thing I think, it's nice to think that we're all one and that we can lean on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just sending each other. We don't have to say anything, but there's something about the whole
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we are all,
yeah.
you know, together in one. And mm-hmm. the rose and the compost is all it is,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of living, you know. So whatever memory you have of being mad at your dad when you were 3 or 4, you know, it's feeling awful is only the rose of the compost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like scary, do it or not do it.
Right.
And if you get stuck, there's always somebody around you.
Right.
Hold things for you for a little bit.
Yeah. So let's do this meditation. And this is just going to be a sampling. And, you know, like with metta meditation, you can do, you know, you can do part one for weeks before you go to part two. So this is, you can approach it that way too, that you just take one part of it and you just do that for as long as that feels good until you move on to the next part. So we're gonna do all the parts now, but this is just a little sample for you. Okay. So let's meditate, get into our anchoring, grounding. And we'll start with one bell. Come home to your breath. And bring to mind someone from your past whose kindness touched your heart. See yourself speaking to them, telling them what they have meant to you. Allow love to fill the space holding both of you. Thank them. And when you're ready, say goodbye to them, as if you may never see them again, even in memory. Feel how the parting is less a separation than a completion. And now bring to mind a moment of life or an experience from your past that you are grateful for. Allow yourself to fully inhabit that wonderful time, feeling it in all your senses, that happiness that arises. See that moment as a jewel on the path of your life. Take that beauty and joy into your heart. Let it infuse you with love and confidence. And now bring to mind someone who has caused you pain, but not great pain. Someone whose memory is unpleasant, but not a source of anger or fear. Just stay there in their presence, noting any sensations in your body that may arise. Breathing and calming. Begin to contemplate how they must have been suffering, so far from their heart to treat you that way. Take a feather and touch them ever so lightly with the possibility of forgiveness. See how that feels. Notice how the heart longs to be free of this grief, of this holding. Open the clenched fist of this memory. Let it float for a while in the possibility of forgiveness. Come back to the awareness of your belly. Have you maintained or can you return to soft belly? Take good care of yourself by holding this forgiveness possibility even more lightly, or by letting it go for now. Say goodbye, let this memory go, trusting in this good work that you've already done. Rest in your breath, in the comfort of the present moment, in the safety of the here and now. Now allow your mind to be free to invite up any memory, pleasant or unpleasant. Trust your intuition and let your heart guide the process. As you continue to cultivate both gratitude and forgiveness, your heart will lead you in the appropriate balance. We need to be supported by the strength of gratitude in order to offer ourselves to the potential of true forgiveness. When this memory feels complete, thank it and let it go. And put your attention fully and lovingly on your breath. You might find a new sense of gratitude for your in-breath and your out-breath. Your breath is your most intimate friend, your true support in this life. Now allow that feeling of gratitude to move outward, to encompass your whole body. Thankful for this dear body of yours, perfect as it is now, in all its seeming imperfection. Allow the gratitude to move outward into space, infusing this room and all our precious friends here. Feeling connection and support. Allowing ourselves to both offer that love and to rest in the gift of it. And now let us all send that energy out into our world, offering our very best, our gifts of gratitude, of forgiveness, of kindness, helping to heal our world as we heal ourselves. So you can continue with this process in whatever way works best for you, most organically, gauging the process of painful memories and happy memories, you know, consciously bringing them up, letting them be, being very aware of taking good care of yourself. I mean, we all have so much to be grateful for. We can always go back to that anchor of gratitude, allowing us to shine our light into the darker places. There's a quote that I don't know who said it, but it says, "Our life is not defined by its experiences, but by the heart that receives them." So, we're opening our tender hearts to everything. You know, there was an Indian teacher who said, "Whatever you do, don't put anyone out of your heart." So our homework for next time is to just review, to go back and review everything, and to find one thing, one specific practice, one specific insight that is a strength for you, to acknowledge something that's already in you being developed in this practice. And one thing that could use more development and that you are attracted to developing. And you can describe this in terms of a quality, like a factor of awakening, or you can define it in terms of a practice that you're committing to. And you can have more than one of each, of course, in your own, and you certainly don't need to share everything, but come prepared to share one thing, because that will give you a lot of strength to move forward. It'll give you some juice. You know, the whole group will support you in that commitment that you're making. Are there any last minute questions or comments about this practice?